Truly great to look out and see so many visitors with us today. We're so thankful that you are here. Hope that you'll come back and be with us at any opportunity that you might have. Oh, I think this is a wonderful time of the year. We have had Veterans Day this week. We're having Friends Day today. It's hard to believe a week and a half from now is Thanksgiving. But it's right on top of us, and then it'll be Christmas before you know it, New Year's. But it's a great time of the year, and we're just so thankful that you are here with us today. I know that most of you are probably ready to endure the sermon so that you can get to the food. There will be a meal later, and we hope that you will stay and that you will join us in that meal. You know, the Navy constructed an amphibious assault ship. It was built with 7.5 tons of scrap steel from the World Trade Center Twin Towers. Notice the ship's twin towers. That was intentional. It was named the USS New York, was christened on March the 1st, 2008. It was delivered to the Navy on August the 21st, 2009. It was commissioned as a U.S. Navy warship on November the 7th, 2009. And it was deployed for the first time on June the 10th, 2012, to the Strait of Hormuz and the Persian Gulf region. Hurricane Katrina disrupted construction when it pounded the Gulf Coast in the summer of 2005. But there were a number of people who decided that they wanted to get to work right away. The 684-foot vessel escaped serious damage. The workers went back to the shipyard near New Orleans 2 weeks after the storm. It was the fifth in a new class of warship designed for missions that include special operations against terrorists. It carries a crew of 360 sailors and 700 combat-ready Marines to be delivered ashore by helicopters and assault craft. A foreman working on the ship said, and I quote, "It would be fitting if the first mission this ship would go on is to make sure that bin Laden and his terrorist organization is taken out. He came in through the back door and knocked our towers down, and the USS New York is coming right through the front door, and we want them to know that." Of course, it did not happen that way, but certainly that was the sentiment of many of the people working on the ship. Steel from the World Trade Center was melted down in a foundry in Amite, Louisiana, to cast the ship's bow section. And when it was poured into molds on September the 9th, 2003, Navy Captain Kevin Winsing said, and I quote, "Those big, rough steel workers treated it with total reverence. It was a spiritual moment for everybody there." And Junior Chavers, the foundry operations manager, said that when the Trade Center steel first arrived, he touched it with his hand and the, quote, "the hair on my neck stood up. It had a big meaning for all of us. They knocked us down. They can't keep us down. We're going to be back." Can you guess the ship's motto? It is strength forged through sacrifice. Never forget. We were trying to stress today, and I believe that we have done so successfully, that friends are very important to us. A friend loves at all times, Proverbs 17 and verse 17. The events that occurred on 9/11 2001 were tragic. They were eye-opening. It began as an ordinary working day. But due to the religious fanaticism of a relatively small group of Muslims, the lives of most Americans changed on that fateful day. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to have a friend or a loved one to die in such a catastrophic and needless way? Fathers, mothers, daughters, sons, brothers, sisters, and dear friends met their untimely deaths on what seemed to be an ordinary day. And I can only imagine that each friend or loved one wishes that he or she had just one more minute to say something that was left unsaid. There are probably some who are numbered among the living who wish they could recall words that had been spoken harshly or could express their love and appreciation one last time or wish their children could have said goodbye. If there is one lesson we should have learned from that tragic event, it should have been, don't put off until tomorrow what you should do or say today, because tomorrow just may never come. James wrote about that in James chapter 4 and verse 14. He said, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. What is it that God wants you to do today that you have been putting off until a more convenient time? Convenient times seldom come, do they? What words of love, encouragement, appreciation does God want you to say to people you may often take for granted? If you knew today was the last day of your life on this earth, what would become urgent to you? And because your life and my life is so brief, we should make the most of today. The story of Flight 93, I know you're familiar with that story. It's amazing. It's inspiring. Once again, the innocent people on that particular flight were expecting an ordinary flight. And when they learned that terrorists used our own airplanes as weapons to destroy the Twin Towers and to cripple the Pentagon, they could only imagine the destination of their plane. They could have resigned themselves to the inevitable, but instead, many of them determined that if they were going to die, they were going to intervene. They refused to allow the terrorist on that plane to carry out their evil plot. And as a result, they were willing to sacrifice their own lives in order to save the lives of other innocent people. That was an heroic act. You probably know some people who would die for you. And I am certain that there are some people for whom you would sacrifice your life. There are brave men and women serving in the military and on police forces who put their lives on the line every day for you and for me. But if you're going to die for someone, you want them to be worthy of your sacrifice, don't you? There are some people for whom you would not be willing to die. Some people who are your enemies, some people who are evil people. And I think that that feeling is only human. But there is someone, Jesus Christ, who was willing to die for the worst of the worst, as well as for the best of the best. He was willing to die for all mankind because we are all sinners. In Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Again, think of people that you might be willing to die for, and yet think of those that you would be least willing to die for, and Jesus died for all because of the great love that he had for mankind. And he died for you and me, even while we were sinners. You know, there are all types of friends. There are so-called friends. There are fair-weather friends. There are friends who may be manipulative. There are acquaintances. And then there are true blue friends. True blue friends encourage you to be the very best person that you can be. They are reliable. They will tell you the truth, even if it hurts. Wise Solomon wrote in Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6, "Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." You know, sometimes people give gifts to their friends, although I believe that the ultimate gift is friendship itself. And usually the person who receives a gift from his friend or her friend reciprocates with a gift of like kind. Jesus has given you the ultimate gift of friendship: his sinless life for you and for me. But Christ knows that your reciprocal gift cannot begin to compare with his gift. And yet he wants you to reciprocate his friendship by exhibiting sacrificial love toward him and toward other people. When Jesus washed his own disciples' feet, he said, "I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master." And yet there he was, the master of all, washing his own disciples' feet. And later Jesus told his disciples in verse 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, you might be tenuous about a friend who made certain demands of you. Although Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, the comforter, and the true friend, he is also the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the ruler of the universe, and whether you acknowledge it or not, he is also the ruler of your life. In John chapter 14, verse 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." It's a wonderful thing to believe in Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to accept that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Jesus himself says here that it's awfully important that we also keep his word, that we follow his commandments, that we live by his example, that we do what he said he wanted us to do. We're going to sing an invitation song here in just a moment. And it's probably a song that we're all familiar with. It is entitled, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, and thou wilt find a solace there. I know that those of you who are our guests today were invited here by your friends. Hopefully they're close friends. Hopefully that we can become friends with you as well. But no matter how close a friend that you may have, you will never find a closer friend than Jesus Christ. The one who gave himself for you and gave himself for me. The one who loves us with all of the love that we can ever imagine. One who will never betray us. I hope and pray this morning that you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian this morning, this will be a wonderful opportunity for you to become a Christian. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you willing to make that confession before other people? Are you willing to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? We hope and pray that if you're not a Christian, then you will become a Christian this morning. If you are a Christian and then there's some things that are troubling you and bothering you and you need the prayers of the people who are here, we want to help you. We want to encourage you in any way that we can. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.